San Francisco, the S-Y-S-K tree.
Yes, San Francisco, Oakland, the entire Bay Area, and dare I say, all of Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
We love you, and we're coming back to Sketchfest this year in January.
Yeah, we're going to be there on Sunday, January 15th at 1 p.m., a very rare afternoon show.
Yeah.
And we will be ready to go. So you guys better be drunk from the night before or getting drunk for that evening.
Yeah.
However it crosses over.
I think it'll be proof positive that we endorse afternoon drinking. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, a couple of drinks maybe.
Sure.
Maybe a Bloody Mary.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, we're promoting our show.
Oh, that's right. So we're doing that show on January 15th. You can go to the SF Sketchfest website to get tickets. And it's awesome. It's a great, great comedy festival. Lots of awesome shows that weekend.
Yeah.
And for the following weeks.
Yeah.
So I encourage you to buy lots of tickets. Just buy ours first.
Yeah. And hurry, hurry, because they're selling out fast. No joke. That's not a ploy. That's not a marketing ploy.
No.
They're really selling fast.
We get emails every time. Guys, you told me to hurry. I didn't hurry. I'm shut out.
And since this promo's petered out, it ends right now.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, Jerry, Master Ace, Roland. And this is Stuff You Should Know.
Yeah, poopy edition.
This one's going to get disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need trigger warnings when the title of the episode is got porta potty in it, but we'll just throw it out there. We're going to be talking about poop and pee.
Yep.
And so if you're having lunch, maybe just put that chili dog down.
You gag easily.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, well, Chuck, I don't think we can put it off any longer.
Yeah, that kind of petered out.
I kind of like how this article actually starts, though, by Dave Ruse. He talks about the taste of Chicago.
Oh, is this a Ruse jam?
Yes, it is.
He's good.
So he talks about how if you go to the Taste of Chicago, right, every July they hold it at the Grant Park. Alongside the lake.
When was our show there, by the way? Was that July?
No, it was chillier than that. I think it was October.
Okay, they had something had happened in Grant Park because I remember seeing hundreds and hundreds of porta potties on the drive-in.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
maybe they just always have them there.
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay. Well, for the Taste of Chicago, they definitely have porta potties. In fact, for 2014. And we should say there's like a million people that come through this thing over the course of the week.
Yeah, it's a lot of folks.
It really is. Have you ever been to Atlanta's Taste of Anything?
No.
I haven't either. I don't think a million people show up for it, though.
No.
It makes me want to go try Chicago's.
Me too.
So you got a million people. And Service Sanitation Inc., which is the company that landed the porta potty contract, crunched the numbers. Looked at the food that was going to be there. said, you're going to have some beer?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They carried the one, and they came up with 380 regular porta-potties.
Yeah.
28 wheelchair-accessible porta-potties.
Good.
And 80 hand-washing stations that have soap and fresh running water.
Not bad.
Right. So here's the thing. Like, that's great. They delivered all those things. But had they just walked away and said, see you at the end of Taste of Chicago,
Ooh. It
would have been a living nightmare
for
everyone involved.
Yeah, that would be, it would be more than the Taste of Chicago.
It'd be the sickening smell of Chicago.
Yeah, that would have been bad because, well, we'll get into it, but porta potties sometimes, you can leave them, come back a week later, and just take them away. If it's like a temporary work site or something. But sometimes when you're selling beer and chili, you need to come at the end of every day and clean those suckers out.
Yes. And that's what they did. They came at night when everyone was sleeping.
Yeah.
I guess if you went to bed at 9 p.m.
That's when I'm sleeping.
But they would come every night from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. and they would work. And here's the thing, porta potties, it turns out, I was overthinking them. I thought there was maybe a little more going on. No, they are self. I really don't know what I thought. It escaped me as the reality of porta potties sunk in.
Uh-huh.
My illusions about them kind of, escaped me. It trickled away and now I can't remember what they were.
You've used a porta potty, right?
Sure I have.
Okay.
But I was like holding my breath and like just barely had my eyes open because I didn't want any germs to get on my eyeballs. so I wasn't paying that much attention. It's an in and out kind of thing.
Right? Yeah.
It turns out that like when you service a porta potty, what you're doing is you're showing up with a trunk or truck as a tank with a vacuum on it, a pressurized tank. And you are sucking the contents out of that porta potty.
Yep.
And then you put it in the truck, you drive off and you dump it off at the waste treatment plant of your local city or town.
Yep. It's like a gigantic wet vac.
Yes, it is.
For poo-poo and pee-pee.
Yes. And a very dangerous one. I saw at least one story in a porta potty trade magazine that of somebody who I read a bunch of those in the last.
What was the magazine called?
It's called Portable Restroom Operator or Pro. It's a good mag, man. I actually found this one issue online going all the way back to 2009 that I was looking for. So they're legit.
Yeah, but they could have been a little more fun with the name.
And Pro, well, I think they're saying like, hey, man,
take it
all the fun you want, but we're saving your behind.
Hey, see that? That sounds like a slogan.
I'm sure it is.
Well, they do point out a couple of the slogans because porta potty companies or Porta Johns, Jiffy Johns,
mm-hmm.
Portaloo if you're in England, Toy Toy if you're in Malaysia.
Yeah,
they're very famous for having pretty fun, punny slogans.
Right,
like we're number one in the number two business.
I know.
Not bad.
No, it's not bad.
No one takes care of our business like Mr. John.
Sure. I saw that too.
Yeah.
There's also one called Got to Go, but it's spelled really impressively. It's G, it's all one word and it's lowercase. So it's super mod. G O T U with an umlaut.
Ooh.
G O. Love it.
Hmm.
You like that one?
Yeah, I thought you were going in a different direction. I thought it was going to be a little more like G-E-A-U-X.
No, that's like if it were in Louisiana, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Sure. No, this had an umlaut. That's what got me.
Well, I know that's why you love Motley Crue so much.
Sure it is.
All right. So, should we talk a little bit about the history?
I think so.
All right. Well, we need to go back to World War II in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And because World War II was going on, there was a need for more poopers, essentially.
Right.
Because they had like manufacturing plants popping up. They had temporary manufacturing plants going up. They had places where they didn't want to build full service permanent bathrooms.
Right.
All over the place all of a sudden. These people needed to go potty.
What I saw a few different origin stories, but the one I saw the most frequently was that the, shipbuilding docks at Long Beach during World War II.
Sure.
Where they were building warships for the U.S., the, guys working the docks would have to, or working building the ships would have to get on a rowboat and go back to the dock to use the bathroom.
Yeah, that's no good.
And they were like, this is a terrible waste of time. Can we just get something on the ship? So they started building temporary, what amounted to the first porta potties there on the ships for them to use.
Yeah. And these first ones, you can look up a picture of the Andy Gump. Is that what it's called?
I didn't see. I got to look that up.
I think it's the Andy Gump, like one of the, just type in like 1940s porta potty and there will be a picture. And it's basically this big, heavy metal square. Sometimes they were wood, but they were super heavy and they weren't easily transported. They, you know, this is pre, using like chemicals, which we'll get into to help
mm-hmm.
break these, the poo poo down and stuff. So it was just a disgusting affair.
I know. I'm
overall
like having trouble right now. I see the Andy Gump.
You see it?
Wow. It looks like,
it looks safe to be in.
You know what it looks like? It looks like what they used on MASH.
Yeah, like the latrine?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same idea, basically.
Yeah.
This is just a latrine you could take places.
Gotcha.
But I came across this really cool little thing on a website about World War II fighter pilots.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
With World War II came along planes that could stay in these bombers that could stay in the air for a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
And they started to think like, hey, these dudes are up there for like, you know, 10 to 14 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come up with ways for them to go to the bathroom.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, you don't think about that. Like when we did the frostbite episode, I certainly didn't think that they were up there getting frostbite because it was so, you know, cold. I also didn't think that they were up there so long that they couldn't use the bathroom.
Or yeah.
They had to hold it, right? So, yeah. And the earliest ones were, well, here's a funnel and it's attached to a tube and it leads out of the plane. So go ahead and pee.
Yeah. And that's basically just for like the pilot and co-pilot.
Right.
This relief tube.
After that, they're like, well, what if we have to poop?
Yeah.
They said, can you get your hands on a produce crate?
And
the crew would say like, well, yeah, sure. We have a produce crate, of course. What are we, commies? And the people in charge would say, well, poop in that. Take that up in the plane and just poop in that, buddy. And maybe wash it out when you get down here and put it back in for later use.
Yeah, or maybe just get a new crate.
I guess if you're not thrifty.
Eventually, they came up with something called the Elsan, E-L-S-A-N. It's a chemical toilet, and it was really kind of one of the first little porta-potties. But if you look up Elsan and on the images on Google, you will find that it looks like nothing more than a metal oil can that you sit on.
It's basically what it was.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And you're all there exposed. I mean, there's no room that this is in. You're just doing this in front of, you know, all your buddies on the plane.
Right, like prison.
Sure.
And that, I mean, that Elsan toilet was still, I mean, as primitive as it was an advancement. But it had certain problems, right? Like if you were flying through turbulence.
Yeah.
The Elsan would spill its contents out into the plane.
Yeah. There's a few quotes here. I'd like to read a couple of these from some of these fighter pilots. Here's one, and this is from a British pilot. While we were flying in rough air, this devil's convenience often shared its contents with the floor of the aircraft, the walls, and ceiling, and sometimes a bit remained in the container itself. It doesn't take much imagination to picture what it was like trying to combat fear and air sickness while struggling to remove enough gear in cramped quarters and at the same time trying to use the bloody Elsan. If it wasn't an invention of the devil, it certainly might have been one foisted on us by the enemy. When seated in frigid cold amid the cacophony of roaring engines and whistling air, away from what should have been one of life's peaceful moments, the occupant had a chance to fully ponder the miserable condition of his life. This loathsome creation invariably overflowed on long trips, and in turbulence was always prone to bathe the nether regions of the user.
That's so gross.
It was one of the true reminders to me that war is hell.
That's so gross.
You don't think about this stuff. You hear about all the glory of being like a bomber pilot. You don't think about sitting on a can and having your friends poop and pee slosh up on your fanny. Sorry to those in the UK.
Doesn't even make sense in that context.
That means something different here in the US.
Right.
It means your butt.
Right. So, yeah, that's the first, I guess, chemical toilet, which is a designation of a porta potty, right? Like a porta potty is a chemical toilet, but not all chemical toilets are porta potties.
That's right.
But a chemical toilet is any kind of toilet where you have something in there that's intended to break down waste. And actually, I don't know that an Elsan toilet, I guess it was a chemical toilet, I see now, but that's gross because in addition to getting the rest of the crew's poop and pee slopped up against your rear end,
mm-hmm.
So too were you getting very, very hazardous chemicals.
Oh, back then, for sure.
As well.
Yeah.
So that's not good, man. That guy may have had his buttocks removed after the war.
One of the uses of the toilet, they said that this is supposedly very true, is that some members of the Royal Air Force actually jettisoned the Elsan toilets with their bomb payload onto German targets.
I'll bet.
So they would drop these toilets full of poo on the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an American, too, who had a great quote about peeing through the little hose. He said, as the urine ran through the tube, it turned to ice and dropped like topaz-colored hail to the ground. I like to imagine every time I urinated over Germany, my acidulous projectile would plink on some Nazi burger's Aryan nose.
Poetry.
Yeah. There's some more good stories in here. You should, oh man, I don't remember which website it was.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to post that later on Facebook.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I'll tweet it.
All right.
So that's the war effort that eventually ultimately led to the creation of the porta potty, right?
Yes.
And again, like, there were already latrines. There'd already been outhouses. And the difference between an outhouse and a porta potty is that an outhouse is basically some sort of rigid structure that's intended to be permanent or semi-permanent that's dug over a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
That's it. A porta potty is a self-contained unit that has a place where the waste goes and is held inside that unit rather than like put into the ground, which is extremely dangerous. We learned a very long time ago, pooping in holes in the ground is not a good way to go as far as public health is concerned.
No, it's not.
And that's one of the legitimate marks in the favor of porta potties. As gross as most people who've ever used one thinks they are, they're actually quite beneficial to public health.
Yeah. And they're green, too. Saves a lot of water.
Yeah, I saw 170 billion liters a year, about 125 million gallons a day in the U.S. alone.
Crazy.
Yeah. So you want to take a break for a second?
Yeah, we'll break and we'll talk a little bit more about the evolution of the Port-a-John right after this.
All right, Chuckers. So we're talking about the evolution of the Port-a-John. You got the Andy Gump.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Elson toilet. And then finally, in actually the 60s, you have what we think of as a porta potty. A patent was developed by a guy named George Harding. And he called it for a portable toilet cabana, and it was made from plastic. And although he had the patent for it, the guy who actually gets credit for actually creating the first real modern Port-a-John or porta potty was a guy named Harvey Heather.
Yeah.
And he created what's called the Strong Box.
It's a great name.
Have you seen the Strong Box?
Oh yeah.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh.
That's what I went and found the December 2009 issue of Pro Magazine to find, because I saw a reference that they had published a picture of it, and I couldn't find it anywhere else.
Oh, yeah?
Those things are ugly.
Yeah, it wasn't a great-looking... it's not like the fantastic Port-a-Johns they have today.
Yeah.
Just so gorgeous to look at.
Right. No, this thing was ugly.
Yeah.
It had no alibi.
Yeah, and these were made of fiberglass, which was good. It was lightweight, but and it was sturdy. It was as sturdy as metal or wood, and it was a lot easier to clean. But the problem with the Strong Box and the fiberglass is it was a big kind of one-piece mold. It was dark inside, which was not good.
That's a big drawback.
They weren't stackable as far as transporting them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just made it really expensive to get them where they needed to go and back again.
It did. And the fact that like it was completely opaque and there was no light that could get in, that's an issue. Plus, I also get the impression that the floors could get pretty slick and you could fall and die of positional asphyxiation in a Port-a-John.
Yeah, and they were also, fiberglass is pretty fragile, so they would break a lot. Fiberglass absorbs odors, which was not good.
No.
And so shortly after the fiberglass came along, someone said, you know what, how about polyethylene? This is what we will use. and George Harding, who you mentioned, co-founded the Polyjohn Corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And he started building the polyethylene portable toilets that were much better because they lasted longer. They would last like a decade. Although I would not want to use a 9-year-old Port-a-John.
Well, so that picture of the strong box that was published in Pro Magazine apparently had been out in service. It was still in service and it had been built like 30 years before.
Well,
yeah, you would know that your company could not have cared less about you if you show up to your job site and there's a strong box there.
Yeah.
And that's what you're expected to use. With all of the possible choices that your company could choose from, and they went with the strong box, they don't care about you.
No.
Or your happiness.
No. The polyethylene, the other good thing about them was they were assembled into different parts and pieces, so it made them a lot easier to transport, a lot cheaper, and if a part broke, you might be able to replace it.
Oh, yeah, that is kind of good.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So hooray for polyethylene toilets.
But one of the things that George Harding created in his patent that I noticed was a ventilation system.
Yeah.
This is a big improvement, right?
For sure.
Because when you're just piling human waste upon human waste into a hole, that it's going to create gases, noxious gases, because bacteria is going to start decomposing that waste. And as a byproduct of that decomposition, they're going to produce what we see, what we experience as rotting fecal material, right?
Yeah, it's not just that it's stinky, it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. And as that gas tries to find a way to escape upward, if the only hole available to it is the toilet that you're pooping or peeing into,
mm-hmm.
those gases are going to come out of it and you're going to vomit while you poop or pee as well.
Oh,
so
man.
What George Harding had, I told you this one's going to be gross. What George Harding figured out was that if you could just basically create a pipe venting off that gas upward and out of the porta potty, people would be willing to use porta potties a lot more. And that was a huge improvement.
Yeah. He also said, how about we make this rooftop translucent white
mm-hmm.
so we can let in some natural light at least. Why don't we improve the flooring so that it's not as slippy? And maybe even further down the line, we'll have porta potties that have a little urinal that's separate, so you don't even have to sit your butt down mm-hmm. on that most horrid of places.
Right. Yep.
What about the roll-around toilet? Did you see these?
Yeah, those, I mean, they make sense. So basically, if you are on like a job site, right, where there are like different multiple stories being built and you're up on one of the higher stories, it's the same thing as when you're working in the shipyards building a ship. You don't want to have to come all the way down to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
So they created porta potties that were a lot more mobile that could be hoisted by cranes.
Yeah.
Just to different levels.
Yeah. If you look up roll around toilet, it basically looks like one of those coolers that has the two wheels and the handle, and you could pull the cooler around,
mm-hmm.
except it's larger, and sitting above the wheels is a urinal.
Right.
I don't see how you go poopy in those, though. Maybe that's when you go downstairs.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Because it's not enclosed or anything. I mean, it's just wide open.
Just like prison.
Yeah.
And there's actually a great scene from, I think, the first Police Academy, starring our friend and Twitter follower Steve Guttenberg.
Goots.
And I think it's Mauser who uses a porta potty, and Steve Guttenberg goes over and gets some crane operator to lend him the crane. And no, it's Mauser's his right hand man. I don't remember that guy's name. But they lift the porta potty up while he's inside using it. It's hilarious.
It's wacky, wacky stuff ensues.
Yeah.
And then if you really are living the good life, or you have maybe a really nice upscale wedding that's out in a remote area, you don't want to bring in just even the nicest polyethylene port-a-john won't do. You will bring in what we call in the movie business a honey wagon.
Mm-hmm.
It is a restroom trailer, and these are actually nice. They have running water. They have stalls. They have porcelain toilets. It's all partitioned. They have sinks and running water and mirrors, hand towels. It's like a rolling trailer full of toilets.
Yeah. Like you can breathe through your nose in these things. You could lay down on the floor if you wanted.
Yeah, and apparently these first started in 1984, Polly John in Columbus, Ohio. Go Buckeyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
And the original trailer was 8 stalls, or as we said in the movie business, an 8 banger. They had 3 urinals, and it was 32 feet long.
Wow.
And now there are 19 companies manufacturing luxury restroom trailers around the world today.
Yeah, I saw one like that they market for like outdoor weddings and stuff like that.
Sure.
And they said all you need are like I think 6 outlets, maybe 620 volt outlets,
yeah,
and like a standard garden hose connection, and you got yourself a luxury porta potty trailer.
Yeah, for your next remote black tie event.
Right. Which, I mean, even people in black tie gotta pee.
Yeah, sure.
So you might as well take it easy on them with a nice luxe trailer.
That's right.
So speaking of, Chuck, you wanna take a break?
Yeah, I'm gonna go to a real bathroom.
That's good.
And hug it.
And I'm gonna get a crane operator to play a prank on you.
All right, we'll be right back. S-Y-S-K.
You should know.
S-Y-S-K.
You should know. No, Josh Clark. Okay, Chuck.
Yep.
We can't put it off any longer.
We got to go inside.
We're going to go inside. Deep dive into the bowels of the porta potty.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Get your snorkel?
Yep.
Okay. So when you look into a porta potty, you may notice that the stuff that's inside the bowl or inside the holding tank is blue.
Yeah, and brown.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's more blue than brown, and that's no accident.
That's right.
Any porta potty is going to use a deep blue dye, and the entire purpose from beginning to end of the blue dye is to visually mask the presence of human feces.
Yeah, they don't want you looking down there and seeing if it was just like clear.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's already disgusting.
you're getting the full experience from the smell alone. You don't need the visual.
Yeah, and you don't poop in these things, do you?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I think I would just poop my pants and walk around instead. I don't think I would. I certainly don't remember ever pooping in it. It's possible I blacked out that memory, but I don't think I ever have. It
yeah, like the
me.
First Lollapalooza.
Right.
The only time I pooped in these, I'm sure there's been like some extreme emergency, mm-hmm. but the only time I can really recall is when Emily and I were getting our master bath built at our house.
Oh no.
We had another little bathroom, kind of, you know, a little small guest bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and we shared that. And then we had a construction toilet on site because they were doing construction.
Right.
And so I would get up in the mornings because I wanted to be a good husband, you know.
Yeah.
And not ruin Emily's day and morning, by getting in there first. So I would get my newspaper and I would walk outside in my slippers and use the port-a-john in my driveway every morning.
But, I mean, I guess it was pretty clean. It was yours, right?
Yeah, it was great. It was me and, like, you know, 2 or 3 dudes.
There you go. That is doable. Festival?
Oh, no.
Taste of Chicago?
No.
Like, yes, there are, like, of course, like, surely if you're sharing a porta potty with a couple of other people that you have to look in the eye here or there, you're going to take care of it.
Right.
But if it's random drunk strangers or people on drugs or something like that, it's going to get messy awfully fast.
Yeah.
And again, as more and more people use it, that blue dye becomes more and more important.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, it does.
There's also going to be a fragrance that they're going to add to hopefully mask the odor. And apparently,
this makes it worse.
Well, I was reading in some trade magazines, and I haven't experienced it myself, but I did get the impression that they have come a long way as far as fragrance goes.
Yeah.
Like I saw you can get bubblegum fragrance.
Oh, God.
Which doesn't sound good. Vanilla?
Ugh. Lasagna?
That comes from just standard use of the Taste of Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, you know me with fragrances, period.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's even worse to me.
everything bagel. No, but like I came across this site and there's like a Jaguar brand porta potty fragrance additive, and they have like any fragrance you can imagine.
New car? Right. Wow. And then the final thing you're going to see down there, or that it's going to be down there, are biocides to kill the bacteria and microbes. And it used to be that they would use formaldehyde to take care of that, but more and more wastewater treatment plants started saying, hey, we can't properly dispose of that stuff now. It's a carcinogen, and we don't feel good about it. So they've been phasing that out over the years, going a little greener. Mm-hmm. And now they actually use enzymes, like beneficial enzymes and microbes that feed on this stuff.
Right. They feed, they help break down the poop, and they also feed on the bacteria that causes the smells, right?
Yeah.
So they're making the poop inert, but they're also naturally cutting down on smells, which I just find fascinating.
Yeah.
They also, since it's capable of breaking down, bacteria, it's also capable of breaking down, any organic material. So if you use the right kind of toilet paper, they'll break down the toilet paper as well.
Yeah.
It's just basically magic in a porta potty.
Yeah. And the other benefit there is they don't need to be emptied as often, if it's doing the job like it should.
Yeah.
Weather has an effect, obviously. If you're in Georgia in the hot summer, things are going to get even worse. I imagine Chicago in July is probably no picnic either. And the Taste of Chicago. No one's going to go to the Taste of Chicago anymore. They're like, attendance dropped by 20% this year. We don't know what's going on. But when temperatures go up, bacteria go to work even harder, and things are just going to smell even worse. Okay. So they might actually use more chemicals in the summer, or more chemicals, especially if it's a summer festival.
Right. And then conversely, I saw this, I guess it was a blog post by a porta potty worker that was published on Cracked, and they basically just went over most of the stuff you can imagine, but just crazy stuff that they found. But one of the things that they made reference to is that the worst thing that they can encounter is frozen waste.
Yeah.
Because they said once that happens, you have to break it up by hand. So to protect, to defend their people from having to do this, they will typically in colder areas during the winter, they'll create a briny mixture that will have a lower freezing temperature.
Like the Minnesota Ice Fishing Festival.
Right, but eventually you're going to reach a point where it's cold enough that it's freezing no matter how much salt you add to it.
Yeah, and I did see one of their little tricks of the trade is they put a cake of this rock salt in the urinal. Mm-hmm. So you go pee-pee on it, and as you pee-pee on it, it just adds a little more salt slowly throughout the day.
Right. The only issue with those is that you have to keep the deer away because they love salt licks. You like that one?
Yeah.
I'm ashamed of basically every joke I've made this whole episode. I don't feel good about myself right now.
All right. So let's finish up by talking about the really the worst part of this. If you're one of like eight people still listening.
Right.
If you're still listening, then we'll finish up with the worst part, which is servicing these things. And we talked about it. It's like a wet vac. You suck it out, drive it to a wastewater plant. But you have to add new water, you have to add new blue junk, and some more dry solution. And
yeah, I saw like a ratio of 1:1 fresh water to solution.
We don't want to mess that up.
No.
And you think like, all right, so that's pretty gross and everything, but especially at like a music festival or something, there's stuff everywhere. Like you've been in these. There's urine everywhere. There's poop in places where you think, like, what in the world was someone doing in there?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be cleaned out by somebody. It's an awful job.
Yeah, there's stuff that people drop down there. Like if you used a sock to wipe your bottom with and you just deposit the sock into the porta potty, that's going to gum up the tank or the pump. So they have to get that kind of stuff out first.
What about your cell phone?
Cell phone? Yeah, apparently they find all sorts of stuff, especially things like phones, wallets full of cash, jewelry, drugs.
A gun?
Yeah, guns. That cracked guy said that, he had a friend who showed up at a porta potty where they just found a body.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
In the thing?
No, in the porta potty, not in the actual hole.
Okay.
That's just cruel.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they find all sorts of stuff because almost everybody would say, well, that's gone. I'll just have to get a new identity because I dropped my whole wallet in the porta potty.
Actually, I saw a stat where 5% of people that go into porta potties don't come out at all. So
right.
The dead body scenario makes sense.
They end up in that other dimension from Phantasm.
And then our article says that the worst case scenario, if you're a porta potty service person, mm-hmm. is that the porta potty, well, there's two worst case, one worse and one way worse. One is if it just gets knocked over, either by a car hitting it or the wind or some jerk who thinks it's funny.
That's not cool.
Knocks it, not cool at all. Knocks it over on purpose. But the ultimate worst is if it tips over on its door.
That's its Achilles heel. Any porta potty's Achilles heel.
Yeah. Because what happens?
All of the stuff that's in the holding tank gets dumped out when it's facing on its front on the door. All of the stuff is liable to come out. And it does, especially when they pick it back up. It just sloshes around everywhere.
Yeah.
And the poor porta potty service operator has to wash this thing out. And those are the worst. Like like somebody can put poop like on the ceiling or on the walls or something. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But when it falls on its front on the door and everything sloshes out, it gets everywhere. So you have to like get inside to clean the whole thing. And at the very least, it takes them a lot more time and screws up their entire day's schedule. At the worst, they're in there cleaning a filthy porta potty's nook and crannies from the inside.
Yeah. I would just say it fell off the truck. Boss.
Right.
Sorry.
It's in that phantasm dimension, boss.
Didn't the guys from Jackass do one of these? Like put one of them in there and tip it over or something?
Yeah, I'm sure. I think they did that when they were like four.
Yeah, I think they did like had a crane lift it and turn it over or something. I don't know.
No, you're thinking Police Academy. And also, Police Academy geeks, you don't have to write in. It was Police Academy 3.
No, I was about to say, I don't remember that. I did not see 3.
You didn't see what?
Nah, I think I petered out after 2 even.
3 might have been the best of all of them.
Which is that? What was the full name of it?
Citizens on Patrol.
Okay.
It's the one where Bob Goldthwait like goes over from his life of crime to being a junior police academy guy.
Yeah. I love Bob Goldthwait, but
it's good. He's great.
Can we stop?
Sure, man.
Okay.
Oh, we have to say, you got anything else?
No.
Okay, Chuck.
Actually, I do.
No.
If you see these porta potty service people in your neighborhood, if there's construction going on, you see them bring in the truck, just flash a nice smile, give them a tip of the cap. It's a really gnarly job. And like they say, somebody's got to do it. They're making a living. Like they've got a job. They went out and got that job to make money and provide for their family.
And don't forget, they're defending public health.
Yeah.
And they're saving a significant amount of water.
Yeah.
So there you go. Nice, Chuck.
All right.
Good way to finish. If you want to know more about porta potties, you can type that hyphenated word on the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said hyphen, it's time for listener mail.
I'm going to call this quick John Cleese correction.
John Cleese.
Exactly. Congratulations on an absolutely marvelous episode concerning Monty Python, guys. It's great to hear so much of the history of the group. Well done. One bit of information. I happened to see John Cleese present a one-man show a few years ago in Carmel, California. He just stood on stage and talked for about 75 minutes. Boy, that's a good gig.
Mm-hmm.
He discussed his life in general, Python in particular, and lots of things, other things. He noted that his name is pronounced to rhyme with cheese rather than fleece. In fact, his surname was originally Cheese, but his father changed it to Cleese.
That's so awesome.
This was a good thing for the son being named John because he did not want to go by Jack Cheese.
Yeah, I guess not.
So it's John Cleese. Never knew that. That's from David Hewitt.
Yeah, and I also want to say, Chuck, somebody called us out for not mentioning Carol Cleveland. she was, for all intents and purposes, the seventh member of Monty Python.
Yeah, we felt terrible because she was in our notes, and we mentioned her and lavished praise on her in our run-through that we did in the studio, and it was just one of those live show things that got by us.
Yeah, so sorry, Carol Cleveland.
Yeah.
We hats off to you. We appreciate your work, and we're sorry we left you out.
Agreed.
If you want to get in touch with me or Chuck, you can tweet to us. I'm at Josh M. Clark, and there's also SYSK Podcast. Chuck's at Charles W. Chuck Bryant on Facebook and at Stuff You Should Know on Facebook. You can send the both of us and Jerry an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com. And as always, hang out with us at our home on the web, stuffyoushouldknow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.